This is, I can show them, I can show my makeup. This is what I use as a member of the community.
Yeah, I just want everyone to know the people who keep bringing up makeup aren't me. It's the dudes on the show. Welcome to Highly Questionable. That's Clinton Yates. That's Pablo Torre. I'm Katie Nolan. Don't yell at me for this on Twitter. Makeup. Skincare. Dale.
Oil.
Do you expect the Ben Simmons Philly breakup to continue getting messier?
Oh, man, Pablo, how's your day going?
Not good, Katie.
The Ben Simmons saga continues. Apparently, he met with a bunch of guys from the front office and told them that he wanted to be traded, he didn't want to play there anymore, and that he did not intend to show up for camp. And it just feels like we've always known that he was this great player and had these amazing strengths. I mean, he's an incredible defensive player, but that something was kind of missing. And I think for a while it didn't matter that something was missing. But now, after what we saw in the game against Atlanta, Pablo, I'm trying not to talk. Do you want to block your ears or something? I feel bad just like re-traumatizing you.
I'll be back.
But when he was on the court, it looked like he might have been afraid to shoot in a situation that should have been an easy couple of points. Just a mess all around. And to answer the question, as we are expected to do legally here on Highly Questionable, yeah, I do think it's just going to keep getting messier.
Yeah, it's going to get real messy, and it's not going to be surprisingly messy to everything Katie just laid out for us. It's going to be predictably messy because this has been going on for a while, and all of this was foreseeable. This is a chess game, except several people who have an impact on said outcome of this game are just playing checkers. And I will bring up Joel Embiid here, because Joel Embiid said some nice things on Twitter, which I appreciate. Can we show those things? Because this is what I want to see, right? Media making stuff up. He wants to play with Ben Simmons. And there's this next one where he says clearly that he loves playing with Ben Simmons, that we have it all wrong. And I want to believe Joel Embiid here, but I don't. I am too cynical and too damaged to believe even the thing that I desperately want to hear. And it's because Joel Embiid and Doc Rivers and the majority of Philadelphia and the assembled fans in the Sixers diaspora, they have been playing checkers. I have been so infuriated by the idea that everybody very loudly just wants Ben Simmons gone, period. That was what was said, as Katie alluded to, after they lost to the Hawks. Joel Embiid basically said that. Doc Rivers basically said that. Every fan on the internet has been saying that. And here's the thing about wanting someone gone in the NBA when they're on a four-year deal and they're 25 years old. It's not going to make it any easier to get a trade offer that the GM of the team feels good about if you're just saying, hey, we all hate this dude, please take him off our hands. The chess move is to say actually what I have been saying sincerely but sarcastically, right? You just say, we love this guy. We love him so much. And that's what Joel Embiid is finally doing here, except it's way too late. Yeah. So is he going to get messy? Yes. Ben Simmons isn't going to show up. And then the question becomes, how much tolerance do the Sixers have to play regular season games if that guy isn't actually playing and showing up? And I hope they have a lot of tolerance for it, but all of this could have been avoided if you just sounded a little more like me.
Oh, my God.
I mean, the mixed metaphors are flying about the cabin in a way that is very difficult to keep up with. But I will continue that, and I will say, you yadda-yadded over the best part here. It wasn't just all of these disparate things. What happened was, when Doc Rivers said to America, I don't know if he's a championship-level point guard. Ben, at that point, said, oh, you don't? Well, how about I will take my talents elsewhere? And it's kind of like that awkward situation in a relationship where things that happened early are not happening late anymore, and you've just got to decide, am I going to continue this relationship with some things just no longer happening that I used to enjoy, that we used to enjoy, and that we used to tell everybody we used to enjoy, but now, for some reason, you're just holding out on? That comes back to the disrespect he was shown in public. Rule one, don't embarrass me. That's what most people tell you in a relationship. And considering that Ben is the one in the power position in this scenario, the Sixers are going to be looking bad, and their whole crew knows it. That's the most embarrassing part about it. Fair trade value. Get out of here. There's one dude that does what Ben Simmons does. Your basketball team. It's not the other way around.
Yeah, no, the idea that Ben Simmons is just basically saying to everybody who's been taunting him, you don't want me here, and I don't either, and now you're going to get mad at me for agreeing with you is kind of the perfect end to a Sunday that is just drizzled with poison.
What do you make of Urban Meyer using vaccination status to help determine his roster?
Clinton, that'll wipe that smile right off your face. A fun topic for us to lift here together. Look, so Urban Meyer said that cuts were not made based off of a vaccine. Originally, he said that it was taken into consideration as in mentioning that players who are vaccinated or not vaccinated, that was taken into consideration when making their cut. And then now they're saying that's not the reason why Urban Meyer has, let's just let Urban say it instead of me fumbling through quoting him.
I know you can't give specifics, but could you share with us whether a vaccinated versus unvaccinated player had an impact on a roster decision?
Everyone was considered. That was part of the production, which is, you know, let's start talking about this, and then also, is he vaccinated or not? Can I say that that was a decision maker? It was certainly in consideration.
Look, people have been saying on these very airwaves for years, the best ability is availability. It's a thing that I have heard so much that I bounce my head when I repeat you saying it, which is me making fun of the fact that people say it all the time. But yet somehow in this situation, that's getting confused and we're acting like it doesn't mean what it has always meant, which is that especially if you are a lower level player, a backup, somebody who isn't a starter, if you can't be available, then you aren't really that able for me. What I need from you most is the ability to be there if another guy isn't there. So I would say, of course, it was something that was taken into consideration when figuring out who you're going to cut. What's so frustrating about this conversation is that we've reached a point in 2021 where, like, we're forgetting what parts are the quiet parts and what parts you say out loud. And then some people are acting like they never knew there was a quiet part. So when someone says it out loud, it's like, what do you mean? It's like, what do you mean? What do you mean? You knew.
Pablo, you know the meme where it says one of the worst people you know actually has a good point? We're definitely in that territory right now with Urban, because I am not a large fan of how he runs his programs. I mean that literally and figuratively, but he's making sense here to me. And I normally am somebody who will side with players' associations about the rights that they have, but this is not that situation. You can't just theoretically say, oh, well, the normal things that we do to protect each other sort of apply, and if we don't change it now, well, then who knows what's going to happen down the line. What's going to happen down the line is that we're still going to be in a pandemic. That's the problem we're trying to solve. You know what I'm saying? So all these rationales behind the different reasons why this should and should not be allowed, I'm not buying them at this point, okay? Look at the numbers. Get on the field and play or don't. That's what Urban's method is here. I think it makes sense.
Yeah, it does feel like Urban Meyer just accidentally said the truth. And he maybe didn't know he shouldn't have done that because he's from college and he is usually this guy with all the power in the world. And so here he is ruffling feathers with the union, which, again, he did not have to deal with in college. But the union, look, in their defense, if there is any defense here, and it is minimal, I think it's the fact that they have to be adversarial. So I'm not surprised that they have to say, you know what, we got to stand up for our guys. But the big picture aspect of this is just so obvious to me. And it's obvious on this level, right? If you are going, let's even just reframe it from, you know, oh, did you get the jab? Did you get the shot? Did you get vaccinated? Let's use different words.
Do you
love football so much that you will do anything to preserve your ability to play it? That's really the standard here. Like, we can talk about vaccination, and we should, because, again, we're in a pandemic that's now 18 months old. But beyond that, it's like, hey, there's a chance you may miss games. Do you want to do what you can do to avoid missing them? And the players who got vaccinated said yes, and the players who are unvaccinated said, I have other concerns that are bigger. And if that's the trade-off you make, that is a cut that has been made in professional sports for eons. And so, yes, Urban Meyer, congratulations on your great point.
Is the PGA being stuffy and lame by banning fans from yelling Brooksy at Bryson DeChambeau?
Okay, Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau need to sit down and talk it out. This is a beef that has been escalating in the, dare I say, most childish of ways over the past, how long has it been? They don't like each other. And fans have been chanting Brooksy at Bryson DeChambeau. And this has been happening for a while, and it's gone a couple different ways. So at first he got pretty mad, and then there were rumors that he was trying to get fans ejected. Then there was the round of this where he said that he actually wasn't mad. No, not mad at all. And he thinks it's really funny, and it's just because it was in his backswing and, like, honestly, whatever. And then there was, like, he bought fans that had been ejected a beer and kept being like, PGA is going to have to do something. It's not me. And then now look, the PGA Tour commissioner, Jay Monahan, has come out and said, if you yell Brooksy at this grown man, then you're going to be it could result in expulsion of fans from the tour because it will be perceived as disrespect. It's just feels like he called mom. It just feels like the parents are getting involved at a time that the parents don't need to get involved. It's it just feels like that energy of, like, my mom says you guys better start being nice to me or she's gonna call your moms. And it's just like, yes, it's disrespectful, but in a weird Streisand effect way. I don't think this is going to help. I would say getting expulsion from the PGA Tour would lend you some street cred to a bunch of people who attend the PGA Tour who don't have much to speak of. So that could almost be seen as a prize. This feels so silly to me. Brooksy, so disrespectful. I'm glad we're cracking down on disrespectful language being used in sports.
But the incentives at play here, I do think they are the doing of the parents involved. Because keep in mind that the PGA, right, they're doing this whole social impact program now, where basically there are financial bonuses if you're, like, I don't know, trending on Twitter or whatever. And so, like, attention in golf is now literal currency because, yes, they want all sorts of street cred that comes with being cool on the internet. And so what has happened? You have a lot of people who now realize, okay, I need to do stuff that's going to maximize that edge. And what else happens when that is being done? You have fans who are going to act as if they are on the internet. And it's not as if this is the worst of the internet by any stretch, because again, as Katie has said, we're just yelling someone else's nickname at another guy. I mean, that feels like a line that you should be able to cross, but now they want to have their cake and eat it too. They want to be the sport of decorum, in which that doesn't happen, but they also want to be a sport that is trending on Twitter, and good luck trying to square that circle.
Let me tell you something. There are few things in the world that I appreciate and like more than two meathead white dudes duking it out over victimless crimes, because normally people get harmed. In this case, there's no big deal. I need this feud for golf. I need this to happen. I need people to show up en masse with Brooksy t-shirts on and yell it all over the greens to make sure, to see if the PGA has the stones to throw them all out with all their frat brothers from Kappa Sig or wherever they all showed up from. I need this to be seriously childish, completely stupid, and lame beyond belief by all parties involved, okay? This is the most entertaining thing to come to golf in a decade, and I mean that with all sincerity. Keep it up, gentlemen. Your ridiculous antics have your boy very interested.
Up next on HQ.
Your boy, in the middle of the morning, because that was a day game, they were continuing a game that was from April, in fact, I got a little emotional. Okay. Aww. It's time to play the game that wishes Ben Simmons played golf so that fans couldn't heckle him. Two question.
You give us topics and events, and we question them. That's pretty good. That's pretty good, Clint.
Doing this, huh? Just for, like, forever, maybe. We're gonna do it forever, I guess.
Do you question if this will get Mets fans to stop booing the Mets for now?
I mean, no. Javi Baez and Francisco Lindor and other people were getting in trouble. I mean, what are you, get in trouble with fans? They gave fans a thumbs down a couple days ago because they said fans were booing them, so they have the right to boo the fans. And then ownership came out and was like, that's not okay. And so then here's what happened when Javi Baez took the plate.
I'm shocked.
That's not the right way.
Look at that.
Come on, dude.
Look at that cutout.
Like a Mickey Mouse hand.
One, if you need to rotate, you can just...
Yeah, all right. You go through all that trouble to bring.
When you have a cutoff one.
Yeah, to bring a thumbs down sign in and then hold it so that it basically says that you're neutral and you don't have an opinion.
You have signs. They're called.
Not great. Also, the Yankees guy booing there does not count. That's just not fair. But so that's what happened at his first at bat. Then here's what happened when he's on first with the possibility to be the winning run.
Oh, the Marlins are bad.
Oh, God.
Look at her. So, Javi beat out an infield single to get on base. That was the first part about it. Big time hustle play. That next play was first pitch. So the sequence of this was nuts at the time. You're thinking, okay, I hope Javi can get it done. Reasonably long AB. Next thing you know, he scores. And I'm sorry, your boy, in the middle of the morning, because that was a day game, they were continuing a game that was from April. In fact, I got a little emotional. Okay, this was an incredible play coming from a guy who would literally just apologize to fans for no reason, by the way. Javi had a great day yesterday. Don't forget that, Mets fans.
Everybody here just got in their feelings, and this Marlins Met game on August 31st somehow provided an emotional release for not just these fans, but also Clinton Yates. And that is both amazing and sort of sad, but mostly amazing. But also kind of sad.
Have you seen my wall? Have you seen this? There's just baseball.
It's so players. Real, Clinton. That's I know. It it's that's it's yeah, so
Pablo,
real.
That take.
It's so just... real.
Do you question if Jason Tatum is going to take another leap this season?
All right, Jason Tatum rules. I mean, he's no Markel Fultz, but people seem to really like him. But yesterday he posted some pictures on Twitter of what he looked. Jeez Louise. I mean, that is just, how do you get your muscles so shiny? I know that's probably not the question you want me to ask.
No, that's
but
my
I do,
question, though.
I do
is there like
know.
A grease? Is there like an oil? Is there like a workout oil that people are using?
That looks nothing like my arm. Like, I have nothing. My arm has nothing in common with that arm. And like, don't show them.
Oh, there it is.
Don't show them.
There, take that arm full.
That is just, what do you want me to say? I haven't worked out in 7 years. You want me to have some sort of important take on this?
I do like to point out sometimes, though, that like, hey, you know who's really good at basketball? Kevin Durant. You know whose arm looks like Katie Nolan's?
Yes!
Kevin Durant.
That's right.
So I'm just saying, like, you know, different ways to skin a cat, as it were.
I gotta say, I mean, as the president of the local chapter, after this glow up, Jason, welcome to the handsome man community. I did not realize that this is what we were working with. Do you see the hair as well? Y'all are distracted.
I didn't even
notice.
The hair
is a great point. I was distracted.
The hair is moving tremendously. Mm-hmm. Perhaps it is the oils and the moisturization from such a glorious mop that have moved down to the body. Good work out of you. And like I said, we'll be sending out, you know, your care package shortly.
What's in that care package, by the way? What does the Handsome Man Club provide its members? You know what? My application, it says pending on the website, so I'm curious. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's still up for review, Pablo. We'll let you know when we've made a decision.
Okay, great. It's time to play the game that wishes that he kind of had just like a giant baby Bjorn at this point to put a certain 7 foot tall point center in to just protect him from all of you meanies. See? Oh no.
Is it Ben Simmons you're talking about? Tell us what's on TV. We'll tell you if we're intrigued or not. A giant baby Bjorn?
Tonight at 7:07 p.m. Eastern, Yankees and Angels.
You know, I just feel like I've made a policy that I will always say no as long as the Yankees are involved, but I'm gonna break it and say yes. Why am I intrigued? Oh. Because Shohei Ohtani, for all that we talk about him, about how great he is as a pitcher and as a hitter, what we keep overlooking is that he's an incredible base runner. Look at him executing a double steal of home plate.
Yep.
Look at the slide. The slide is in the corner. Once again, as the president of base running Twitter, let me explain to you. He gets the body down away so he doesn't give as much of a target, keeps the hand low.
Beautiful.
Again, A plus
just
out
beautiful.
Of him.
He's sixth in the
signals
league.
Signals his own sign. Signals his own sign, too. I've been telling you guys, he's the best
Clinton,
base runner
so
on the team, Pablo.
So you're intrigued, Clinton, I assume, yes?
Oh, I'm absolutely intrigued.
Okay, good.
This is why I came, is to watch Ohtani run the bags once again. As the president of base running Twitter, I implore you to understand how important it is. It's not just the stolen bases, Katie. You got to get from first to third. He does that better than a lot of guys in the league. You have fully been radicalized, and I'm glad.
Yeah. Do I get a free taco? Pablo, are you intrigued?
So I am extraordinarily intrigued. I usually play the role of Yankees homer on this program. But in this case, I am in conflict with my other role as homer for everyone who has ever been vaguely associated with the continent of Asia. And so it's a tough one. But what I do love in this entire thing is how Gerrit Cole responded when what feels like Shohei Ohtani in a wig on Zoom asked him a question.
He does not need any more advantage, Margaret, okay? I won't.
I mean, legendary eye roll.
There you go.
That is the best. Margaret is a perfect name for that. Yeah, thank you for being named Margaret. All right, that's it for Highly Questionable. I think it was a fun show. If you want more Clinton Yates, you can. He's the president of baseball base running Twitter, right? And so I'm trying to get your IMDb correct. Or he's he's a part of the handsome man community, so you could apply for that. You want more Pablo Torre? Listen to ESPN Daily, or be a loud Yankees fan, or love Ben Simmons. Yeah. I don't have. I'm a woman without a country. I got no affiliations.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.